Carl Nordman audiobook reel. Ronnie had gone to the school and begged Dalton Stetter, the schoolmaster, for books, because there was no library yet. Stetter had badgered her about sending Ezra to school, where the books were in the first place. Instead. So hitting a dead end there, she'd worked out a deal with the coach drivers to bring her books on occasion from their other stops. At least she had the money. Around noon on a Wednesday, she heard the gunshots. The first two coming in rapid fire sequence weren't even half as loud as the third, which came a quick beat later. Racing out her door, she saw others doing the same and looking around. Nothing was happening on the third floor, it seemed, so locking Essa up, she went downstairs. The commotion was down at Shrike Mason's room. A cluster stood there blocking the hallway, muttering excitedly. Ronnie edged up to the rear of the mob and did her best to work her way through it without offending anyone. She could see the man on the floor as the crowd ahead grew thinner. Make that men. Two bodies lay there, one atop the other, as blood pooled around them both at their overlap.
One shot,
Ronnie heard someone say with a hushed awe.
Both of them.
The door to Mason's room was open. He was sitting in a chair staring out at the crowd, blood dripping from one arm, a gun smoldering in the other. Looked like he'd taken two hits. In fact, his right thigh sported a dark patch a few inches above the knee. As Ronnie turned his way, they locked gazes and he smiled at her faintly.
Sorry about all the noise, folks, he said.
The postage stamp front yard was bare dirt, swept smooth and flat with two metal chairs lined up beside the front door. I knocked on the screen door. The inner door was open, and I could feel a hint of cooler air kissing my face on its way out to be incinerated by the heat of the day. A woman came to the door wearing blue jeans and a colorful blouse, covered by the thigh-length gray smock worn by virtually every female factory worker in Juarez. She probably worked the early shift at one of the maquilas, so she could be home in time to meet her children as they came home from school.
Yes, who is it? She asked in Spanish.
My name is Jack Brady, Mrs. Aguilar, I replied in the same language. A gringo is someone to be mistrusted, held at arm's length. But a gringo that speaks Spanish gets a little more consideration. A PI in West Texas better know the language or have a partner who does. I'm here about your brother, Oscar, I continued.
Dios mío, she said.
She opened the screen door and stepped out on the 2 square feet of porch she had.
What has happened?
A gringo coming to her home and asking about her brother couldn't be good. But the look in her eyes told me she didn't know about the killing. I wasn't looking forward to telling her.
We need another chapter, don't we? We were on the last leg of revisions with a deadline at play, and the gap had just become clear. Painfully so. A serious pivot in the author's life required a serious pivot in his big idea book, or big idea light, if you're exploring that concept with me, and we didn't have much time to do it. After a couple of hours exploring possibilities, we'd found a way to pull the threads together, but it required another chapter. One we needed to get right, and we needed the chapter outline, fast. Theories about refining our work are fun to play with when time isn't a factor, but when you're on a deadline, all that matters is one key skill. How to draft a nonfiction chapter both quickly and effectively. There are many reasons a deadline can pop up in your writing timeline. It's not easy to be at your best creative self under the constraints of time and external pressure. Then again, sometimes the pressure we're up against is needed. Having too much time and too much room to explore can lead us to spin out in theoretical possibilities, trying to over-sharpen our ideas down to a nub before they ever have a chance. We've talked about the commandments of nonfiction storytelling and how the different levels of quadrants can give us fresh angles on the way our work flows. And, as all storytelling commandments go, these concepts apply at global, sequence, scene, and beat levels.